Welcome, friends. My name is Debbie Lawrence, and this is Episode 7 of the Compassionate Leader School Podcast. This past week, I was coaching a client around some challenges she was having communicating with coworkers that have been heightened, it seems, since she's been working remotely. And I was reminded of one of Harriet Lerner's quotes. She said, "If we would only listen with the same passion we feel about needing to be heard, but we don't. We are much more interested in enhancing our talking skills than enhancing our listening skills." If you've heard me say this once, you've heard me say it a million times. More than anything in the whole wide world, people want to know they matter. And how we do that is by making sure they feel heard, respected, and validated. I believe to the core of my being that one of the greatest gifts you can give another human being is your undivided attention, to really listen and to be able to clearly demonstrate that you've heard them. One of the things that naturally happens in communication is that we interpret what the other person is saying based on their verbal and nonverbal cues. In other words, we make assumptions, or better, we make up stories that aren't based on facts, but on our perceptions. And let's be clear, when I say we make up stories, those stories are not complimentary stories. As people, we're not wired to assume the best. I wish we were, but unfortunately, we default to thinking the worst. And that so often is the leading contributor to breakdowns in communication. I can't tell you how many times this happens. I'm trying to figure out why someone said or didn't say something, or did or didn't do something, and I'm listing those probabilities out loud to my husband. And he usually lets me get to about number 3 before he says, "You know, you could sit here all day and make up possible reasons why your mother hasn't called yet. Why don't we just wait for her to call? I'm sure she'll have a perfectly logical reason for the delay." Ooh. Ouch, got me. And he's absolutely right. Because the truth is, all the theories I could suggest about why the phone hadn't rung were all worst case scenarios, or at least not offering my mother the most generous assumption. I wasn't thinking, "Oh, mom's probably delayed because she's out buying me a gift or doing something special for me." No, I'm thinking she got distracted with her own fun and forgot about me altogether. What a waste of time and energy fretting about something I have zero control over. And inevitably, when the phone rings and it's my mother, she's always got a perfectly reasonable story about why she was delayed in calling me. Look, with everyone on lockdown these days, living under the same roof with often few distractions, limited space, and no escape route for most of us, it's natural that there's going to be strains in our communication. And on the work front, we've got everyone working under extraordinary circumstances. You know, there's a gift in being able to physically be in front of someone when we're communicating. And while Zoom and FaceTime and Skype and its counterparts are the next best thing, it's still not the same. So with work, you'd be naive if you didn't anticipate more than average hiccups when communicating with staff and even with your clients. You know, a colleague posted this past week on LinkedIn that a quote from a workshop he had attended, and the person said, and I love this, "You are not working from home. You are at home in the middle of a crisis trying to work." Don't you love that? You are not working from home. You are at home in the middle of a crisis trying to work. When I read that, I thought, yes, that's exactly how it is for so many people I know. And coupled with that reality and the stress that's lurking around everyone living in the midst of so much that's unknown, is this increased likelihood that there will be more frequent breakdowns in communication. In fact, one gauge to measure the amount of communication you need right now is this. If before COVID-19, you would normally communicate with somebody, let's say on a monthly basis, Well, under COVID-19, you need to ramp that up to at least weekly connections. Typical weekly communication now needs to be done once a day. And if you touch base with someone daily, right now you should be doing that multiple times throughout the day, every single day. Things are abnormal, so everything needs to be adjusted, including the frequency of our communication. The other thing to be aware of when communicating, especially while under stressful circumstances, is the likelihood that you can easily become defensive, especially when there's a wide difference of opinion between you and the other person, when what's at stake is significant, especially if it's significant for both of you, and when our emotions start to drive our conversation, or really our response to the conversation. The challenge is to try to minimize your defensiveness as much as possible. You know, defensiveness is really the arch enemy of listening, really listening. And it's also the arch enemy of connection. And now more than ever, we are hungry to feel connected to others, to feel that we belong. So allowing our defensiveness to get in the way isn't doing anyone any favors, especially you. And I want to say this, we are all neurobiologically wired for defensiveness. It's normal because if you think about it, we all have this favorable image of ourselves and we want to protect that favorable image. So it becomes very difficult to listen to someone when they're criticizing us or if that person has offended us in some way. In fact, I believe one of our greatest challenges is listening without defensiveness, especially when we don't want to hear what the other person is telling us. Hey, truth time. Is this you? When someone approaches you in an angry or critical way, do you automatically listen for what you don't agree with, or what is inaccurate, or exaggerated, or what they may have distorted? Of course you do. It's called being human. And that's all the more reason why we need to have strategies we can draw on to help us move past our defensiveness so that we can listen with an open mind and an open heart. Remember, listening equals learning. So here are 6 guidelines or strategies you can draw from over the coming days and weeks to support you in being a strong communicator and not defaulting into defense mode. Strategy number 1, recognize your defensiveness. Know that you are listening defensively when you listen for what you don't agree with, when you're focusing on finding the other person's inaccuracies, distortions, and exaggerations. In fact, if you pay attention, you can feel it in your body. Just think about a situation, an interaction with someone in the past where you became defensive. If you bring yourself back to that moment and relive it, you will be able to feel emotions stirring in your body, thoughts running through your mind, and changes in your physiology. I do this as an exercise with clients and students, and it doesn't take long before people recognize how, when they go back to that moment, or they say, when I've had moments like that, my face will flush, or my fists will clench, or my chest gets really tight, and I know that I'm feeling defensive. They talk about feeling anxious or belittled, sad or frustrated, or just plain ticked off. And they have internal conversations about not feeling appreciated enough or understood, or the famous one, planning their counterattack. Come on, you know that's you. So know your triggers. That way you can tell when you're becoming defensive. And that's the first step in trying to lessen the impact of these emotions, thoughts, and feelings. Number 2, practice deep breathing. Anything I have ever studied about self-care and self-control points to the power of deep breathing as a smart strategy for keeping us calm and grounded in stress-filled situations. If you think about it, you can't actively listen if your nervous system is overheated. So doing something as fundamental as taking in deep breaths on the count of 4, you know, nice deep breath from your diaphragm, and you count 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you exhale on the count of 4. And then you repeat that a couple of times. That will do wonders in calming yourself. Strategy number 3, listen only to understand. I learned this strategy from Harriet Lerner. It is absolutely necessary that you listen only to understand and to discover what you can agree with. And here's the rule. I love this one. The rule is, do not interrupt. Do not argue. Do not refute. Do not correct facts. Do not bring up your own criticisms. And do not complain. You will have an opportunity to address any of these things later, where they can be the focus of the conversation, but not here when you're using them as a defense strategy. But for now, your job is just to listen to understand, or in the words of the beloved Stephen Covey, author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, when he introduced habit number 5, seek to understand, then seek to be understood. Strategy number 4, seek clarity on whatever you don't understand. Now, this strategy is especially helpful when the other person's comments or feedback or ideas are vague. Often, this is where we want to ask for more clarity. We might ask for an example of what they're talking about. I love to ask or say, can you say more about that? And then remain quiet while they respond. That's a really powerful question. Can you say more about that? This also demonstrates to the other person that you care about really understanding them and what it is that they're trying to get across to you. What you don't want to do is you don't want to come across as though you're cross-examining them or that you're being super nitpicky. What you want to show is that you're genuinely curious about what they're offering and where that comes from. I always imagine I'm channeling my inner Sherlock Holmes, and this is especially helpful in keeping me in a mindset of discovery, curiosity, openness, rather than defensiveness. Strategy number 5, validate the other person and offer your gratitude. Validating the other person is really helpful. When you validate someone, you're saying in essence that you can see how they can see it that way. Now, this doesn't mean that you agree or disagree with what they're saying. It's really a way to validate the other person and to continue to keep the lines of communication between you open. I also believe it is a gracious gesture to thank the other person for sharing his or her feelings. And here's the thing, you really gotta mean it. So you say to someone, I appreciate you sharing this. It wasn't easy to hear, and I also know it couldn't have been easy for you to say it either. You want to say something like that. In this way, we're signaling that we're committed to the relationship. And then finally, strategy number 6, don't listen when you can't listen well. If the moment the other person has chosen to speak with you is not ideal for you, it's perfectly okay to tell them that you want to have a conversation, that you recognize that it's an important conversation to have, but you can't have it right now. And it's helpful then if you suggest a specific time to get back together and pick up from this point. You know, there might be kids around. Think about it, you know, when we're all home in self-isolation. So you have those ears that are around potentially eavesdropping on the conversation, or maybe dinner is about to be served, or you're scheduled for an important meeting in 10 minutes and you don't want to get in the middle of a conversation that you won't have time to finish in that period of time. So in other words, it's okay to ask for what you need, but just make sure you come back to the conversation in the not too distant future. And you know, this can also be helpful in giving you time to mentally prepare for the conversation, especially if you felt blindsided when the person initially approached you or you were taken off guard a bit, so that when you come back to it, you'll be able to re-enter feeling more grounded in that right frame of mind and hopefully better prepared, and then ultimately hope that you're going to have a much better conversation. So there you have it, 6 specific strategies you can draw on to help you enhance your interactions and to especially keep your defensiveness dialed down as much as you can. Okay, compassionate leaders, here's your take action challenge. I suspect there's a conversation you had over the past few weeks that you walked away from not feeling good about how it went down and wishing you could have a do-over. Well, your wish has been granted. What I know is that authentic, compassionate leaders never leave things unresolved or feeling unsettled or off even by a 16th note. So this week, I want you to circle back around and revisit that conversation. Draw on one or more of these strategies and choose to elevate your interaction by nurturing and protecting your relationship first and foremost. As always, I'll be looking for your wins. Until next time, here's to giving ourselves permission to show up as open, fierce, and compassionate leaders, and always to living life abundantly. Bye for now.